Hello, my friend, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett with Hickory Ridge Community Church. So happy to know that you're joining us for the Tuesday broadcast, and this is part two of yesterday's broadcast. So I'll give you a moment to kind of get up to speed as to what we talked about yesterday. But as I mentioned yesterday, we are in the middle of raising some money to build a church in Nigeria. If you'd like to have a part of this, I want to encourage you to give and help Pastor Friday build the church in Nigeria. If you'd like to be part of this, you can go ahead and write a check to the Hickory Ridge Community Church on the memo line. Just write Pastor Friday. And we have a matching challenge given to us by John Cash, former meteorologist here in the Hampton Roads area. And everything that we raise, up to $11,500, he will match. And our goal is to raise $23,000 to build this church. And I think we can do it. And I want you to be part of it. And I want you to see how God can take your seed money and actually be involved in spreading the gospel in a whole other country. And you know, we are so blessed here in the United States that we have a lot of things that kind of support us during difficult times. We have government programs that kind of help us when we get down on our luck and when we have things like the coronavirus. But you know, our friends in Nigeria, they have this same virus coming against them. They also have persecution coming against them. Yet Pastor Friday, he is undaunted. He's an amazing guy. He and his wife Precious are doing a phenomenal job, and they live there in Nigeria. You know, they're not one of these pastors that just fly in there and preach and then leave. They actually live there. They have an orphanage there. They have a school there. Their family's there. Some of our church members have been over there to see his ministry. Unbelievable what God is doing in Nigeria. So please pray and consider being part of this. If you'd like to go on our webpage, hrcc7.org, HickoryRidgeCommunityChurch.org, you can give online. Just on the memo line, just mark that it's for Pastor Friday. And every dollar that's given will go toward building this church in Nigeria. So I thank you ahead of time for being generous. Well, today we're talking about how to make good decisions and how can I face my future. So yesterday we said there's three mistakes that we tend to make when we are planning for the future. Well, mistake number one is planning without God. And James says, now you listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we're going to go to that city and spend a year there and carry on business and make money. And so the substitute for that is we do a lot of thinking instead of a lot of praying. So I want to encourage you to pray before you make major decisions to correct mistake number one. The solution would be consult God first in all of your plans. Then we said, secondly, that the second mistake that we make is that we presume about tomorrow. We kind of assume that things are going to continue on as they are. Now, life is very unpredictable. Life is very short. Nobody knows what's going to happen exactly tomorrow. Now, we make plans. We can kind of make some assumptions, but we cannot presume on what's going to happen on tomorrow. As a matter of fact, there's an interesting book, Job, and Job is talking about those who are coming against him. As you know, if you read the book of Job, he had these friends that came along, and they intended to really try to encourage him. But I tell you what, you got friends like Job, who needs enemies, right? So Job says this in Job 4, verses 7 through 9, consider now, who being innocent has ever evil perished? Where will the upright ever, when will they ever be destroyed? As I have observed, those who plow evil and those who sow trouble reap it. At the breath of God, they perish, and at the blast of his anger, they are no more. So here we see that Job realizes that God protects those who are innocent, but God allows the laws of sowing and reaping to take effect. Now, the thing with sowing and reaping, this is an interesting thing with sowing and reaping. The laws of sowing and reaping is this. You sow more than you reap. You reap more than you sow, rather. And the law of sowing and reaping is later and greater. In other words, you plant one seed and you get more than one seed back. It's later, but it's greater. So I want to encourage you that we are like mortals, right? Our life is very short. As we think about our days, we're reminded that our days are like smoke. It just goes up and then it's gone. So life is unpredictable. So live each day to its fullest. Jesus said this, don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Life is unpredictable. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. You see, none of us knows what's going to happen tonight, much less next year. All we can do is make guesses. Life is unpredictable. You know, a war could start tonight. The economy could turn around tonight. Your friends could leave you tonight. None of us know what's going to happen in life. Life is so unpredictable. Many of you work on commission as you listen to this broadcast, and maybe you're coming home and it's been a great day, and maybe you've had a good sales day, or maybe you're self-employed and things are going well right now. You know, that could change really fast. I remember when we started our church many years ago, I was actually a salesperson, and the majority of my income came in as commission. Well, I had one very large company that was probably about half of my business, and they bought from me every week. They bought a lot of material from me. They bought a lot of stock from me, and they were like my bread and butter account. Well, you know, as I was selling to this customer, I went in one day to service this account, and the manager and the owner of that company says, listen, I've got some really sad news. We're shutting down our doors. And then he said, within 36 hours, we're going to be gone. Everything's going to be gone. And so I had to rush back there because we had equipment that belonged to the company I worked for. And I had to quickly get everything out of that business. I had to quickly get all of that inventory that they hadn't paid for yet that was sitting on their shelves. I had to grab it up and throw it in the back of my car. And I remember driving down the road with all this equipment in my car. I mean, my car's dragging because there's so much weight in my car. And I got thinking, what in the world am I going to do? I just lost half of my business. You know, God will take care of that. But you don't know. I didn't know when I walked in that door that afternoon that I'd be losing that account because they were going out of business. You see, life is unpredictable, but secondly, life is also very brief. James says your life is like a mist. You know, the Greek word for that word mist is atmos. It's where we get our word for atmosphere. It's like this fog. It rolls in the morning, but it burns off by noon. Now, I don't know about you, but there's been many mornings as I'm driving in the morning, and there'll be this heavy fog over Hampton Roads. And I remember one day I was driving through Hampton Roads area, coming from Moyock up into Chesapeake, and the fog was so thick, there was a fire that took place down in the Great Dismal Swamp, and the mixture of that smoke and fog, and it was just impossible to see. I had never seen the fog that thick. As a matter of fact, I came up to this traffic light that I could not see, but I knew I was getting close to it. And I couldn't see any cars. I couldn't see the traffic light. The only thing I could hear is the screeching of brakes, and I hear a car smashing into another car. This heavy smoke and fog just covered the entire area of Hampton Roads. You know, that fog by about noontime finally burned off. You know, that's how our life is. Our life is like this fog. James also uses this illustration of a leaf of grass. It's going to be burned away very quickly. You see, life is so short. It goes so fast. I mean, you can begin your life and you'll be a kid playing with Hot Wheels, and the next thing you know, you're in a wheelchair. You go from diapers to dignity to decay and then back to diapers. You see, life is brief. I don't know if this happens to you in your Facebook account, but every morning I check my Facebook account and up will pop on my Facebook who has a birthday that day, if they're on my friends list. The other day I was checking it, and as I opened up my Facebook page, it said one of the family members or one of my friends on my Facebook account was celebrating their 50th birthday. Now, as I read that, I said, this can't be right. This is a kid that was in my youth group when I started in ministry. And I said, I'm 55 years old, and this guy's celebrating his 50th birthday. And I remember when he came as a teenager, as a 17-year-old kid, and I was 21, 22 years old. I was his youth pastor. And now this guy's turning 50 years old. I said, where in the world has time gone? Why has it gone by so fast? Psalm 35:15 says, Lord, my days are in your hands. There's a third mistake that I think we must caution about as we're making our plans. Mistake number one is planning without God. Mistake number two is presuming about the future. Mistake number three is putting off doing good. James 4:17 says this, anyone then who knows the good that he ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin. In other words, we look at sin and we discover that it is a mistake not to do the good that we're called to do. When we're aware of something that we can do and we don't do it, we would call that the sin of omission. In a very broad category, there's two ways that we sin. We sin by committing sins, breaking God's law, you know, lying and stealing and cheating and immorality. All these are sins that we commit. But there's also sins of omission. Sins of omission are the things that we should do that we do not do. So what is the solution? How do I defeat this mistake of putting off doing good? I do right, and I do it today. Never waste an opportunity to do right. Don't put it off. Do it right now. Proverbs 3:27 and 28 says, "Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Come back later. I'll give you to tomorrow,' when you have it with you." In other words, your neighbor comes to you and they ask you to borrow something, and you've got it. Don't say, "Hey, come back tomorrow." No, you've got it. Go ahead and let them use it. You see, James is talking about this matter of procrastination. This is I'm intending to do it. This is what procrastination is. I'm meaning to do it. Have you ever met anybody and they're always aiming to do something? And they always say to you, "I'm aiming to do that. I'm aiming to do this." I don't know about you, but I always want to say, when are you going to pull the trigger? Just do it, right? Just go ahead and do it. Don't aim to do it. Do it. Somebody wrote this about procrastination. "Procrastination is my sin. It's only caused me sorrow. I know I ought to change my ways. In fact, I will. Tomorrow, putting off what you should do today." You know, the Bible talks about the foolish man and the man who made a very poor choice. Jesus gives this parable. You're familiar with this parable. I want to just read it to you to drive home the point that we can be very foolish if we're not careful in making our decisions. Luke chapter 12, 16 to 20, Jesus tells this parable. He says, "The ground of a rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store all my crops.' Then he says, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And there I'll store up all of my grain and all of my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night you will be determined from you. Then you will get what you have prepared for yourself.'" In other words, God was calling that guy on home. Judgment day was coming. What was he going to do then? You see, as you think about your life, we learn that our life is brief, our life is uncertain. We learn that we should never plan without consulting God first. And we've also learned that when we have the opportunity to do good, we better do it because we may not be around tomorrow. There are three things that you can do with your life. Number one, you can spend your life. Number two, you can waste your life. Number three, you can invest your life. Let's think about spending your life. You can spend your life trying to acquire things, maybe fame and maybe pleasure. You can spend your whole life trying to acquire all of these nice things. You can waste your life by watching TV all the time or being on social media all the time, just wasting your time, wasting your money, wasting your existence, just squandering time. Or number three, you can invest your life. You see, the best use of our lives is to invest it in something that is going to outlast us. You know, I'm a big proponent of things that outlast me. When you think about how God created us in such a way that there's three layers of protection that have brought into our lives. There are three things that are going to outlive us. Number one is the family. I am a big proponent of family values. I believe that men ought to be men leading their families. I believe that men ought to teach their sons and daughters how to respect others who are in leadership position. I believe that God raised up the family as his bond that is going to bring about revival to our country. I believe the family is what brings stability to communities and stabilities to churches. You see, God has raised up the family. You know, your family is going to outlive you. We are blessed to have five children, and I am so happy to know that my children are going to live beyond me. They're going to carry on my family name, and I'm so proud of all of my kids and what God's doing in their lives. They're going to outlive me. You know, there's something else that's going to outlive me, and that is the church. I am a strong proponent of investing in the church because the church is what brings salt and what brings light into society. It is a church that propels the gospel and shares the gospel to a world that is lost. It is a church that is a preservative of our culture. But God also has government. You see, we ought to be heavily involved in our government. And I'm not saying you need to run for political office, but I think every Christian ought to do their civic duty and get out and vote. And they ought to vote for candidates that most closely align themselves with the Word of God. You see, elections have consequences. If we elect good officials, there'll be good consequences from that. If we elect bad officials, there'll be bad consequences for that. It was Jim Elliot who said this, and Jim Elliot was going to be a missionary, and he was going to share the gospel with the Alka Indians, and he was killed even before his ministry began. He spent all of his time preparing for this ministry, and many people thought he wasted his life. As he's going there to share the gospel, he's killed. Jim Elliot said this, "He is no fool who gives up that which he cannot keep for that which he cannot lose." What's going to last forever? God's people, the Word of God. People will last in one of two places for eternity. Where am I going to spend my eternity? How am I going to invest my life before I leave this life? How am I going to make it count? There was a commercial years ago on television by the Peace Corps. And it said this at the end of the commercial. It doesn't matter how long you live if you're not doing anything with your life. And that is so true, isn't it? You can live 50 years and do a lot with your life, and you could have a life that fulfills its purpose. Or you can live to be 100 years old but never really invest your life in anything. You just waste it and spend it on yourself. You see, it doesn't matter if you live to be 50 or 100 if you're wasting your life. I want to encourage you that if you will make good plans, God will bless your influence. 2 Corinthians 6 reminds us right now God is ready to welcome you today. He is ready to save you. Or maybe you're listening to the broadcast today and you're not even sure about where you're going to spend eternity. That's the most important question you must ask yourself. How am I going to spend eternity? What's going to happen to me when I die? I can tell you one thing about death. Death is going to come. One day, death is going to knock at your door. You see, it doesn't matter how well you take care of yourself, and I'm not against taking care of yourself. I think we ought to take good care of ourselves. We ought to eat well. We ought to take care of this body that God has given us. But no matter how well you take care of this body, I promise you 100 years from now, not one of you will be listening to this broadcast. 100 years from now, not one of you will be here. That's a sad commentary, but that is a heavy dose of reality. Death is certain. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We die because we have this sinful nature that causes us to decompose and eventually causes us to die. You see, Jesus loved us so much that he says, you know what? I'm going to take the penalty for your death. I'm going to take the wages of your sin. I'm going to pay for them so that you can live forever. And I'm not talking about your physical body. One day, that physical body is going to go back down into the ground. From dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. That physical body of yours is going to decay one day and go right back to dirt. But the soul, the real part of you, is going to live on forever. The question is where? Where is your soul going to live on for eternity? The Bible says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. What is that? Embracing the gospel. The gospel is the good news. It's the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. The gospel is woven throughout all of the Bible. Those who believe the gospel have everlasting life. I want to encourage you to receive this free gift of salvation. You see, right where you are, you can pray a simple prayer. It doesn't have to be this great theological prayer. The guy that was on the cross on one side of Jesus said, "Lord, would you remember me today in paradise?" That was his prayer of salvation. And Jesus said, "Today you're going to be with me." All he said, just remember me. That's all they said. If you just cry out to the Lord, say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. Would you forgive me of my sins? I invite you to come into my heart and save my soul." A simple prayer like that, and you become a brother or a sister in Christ. Hey, if you just prayed that prayer, I would love to follow up with you. I'd like to send you something in the mail to help you on your journey. If you just prayed that prayer, would you call me at 757-421-7500, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can, and I will send something to you that will help you on your journey. I encourage you to get into a good Bible teaching church where you can learn more about the gospel, learn more about God's word. I also encourage you to get into a church that has small groups or Sunday school classes so that you can connect with people in that church. And I'm so excited for your decision. So please call me if you just prayed that prayer. Well, as we kind of wrap up our broadcast for today, I want to conclude by giving you the ABCs of making good plans. We've been talking about making plans. We talked about the mistakes that we often make in making plans. And just to review, mistake number one is that we plan without consulting God. Mistake number two is that we plan being presumptuous about the future. Mistake number three is that we don't do the good that we ought to do. We withhold doing good, or we procrastinate in doing good. Well, how do we make good plans for the future? Well, it's as easy as A, B, C, and D. Letter A, have this attitude of honest humility. Sometimes as I do counseling with people, they're coming to my office, and one of the first questions I will ask them, I said, are you going to be honest with me today? As we go through this session and we try to figure out what the problem is and we try to formulate a solution for how we can help you in life, will you be honest with me? And then I'll take it a next step and I'll say, would you be painfully honest? And by being painfully honest, there's this element of humility where I have no hidden agenda. In other words, I'm willing to humbly admit that I'm falling short of this relationship. I'm falling short of my responsibility within this relationship. As we're making plans, this honest, humble attitude, understanding that, Lord, my life doesn't belong to me. My life belongs to you. I am giving my life completely over to you. Now, it's amazing that so many people will trust God for their eternal life, but they won't trust him for their daily life. Listen, if you can trust Jesus to get you to heaven, why can't you trust him to get you through this day and get you through tomorrow? So have this attitude that my life is not my own, and as I seek God's face, I am going to be seeking his face, and I'm going to be humbly following through. Letter B talks about behavior. That is, I'm going to do some thinking and changing in the way I process things. I'm not going to base my life on feelings. Now, feelings are fleeting. Now, God has given us feelings, so I'm not against feelings. What I think is dangerous if we make only our decisions based on our feelings, because they are so fleeting. I am determined to trust God regardless of how I feel. Now, for those of you who are married listening to the broadcast today, would you be painfully honest when I ask you this question? Have your feelings toward your spouse ever been negative? I don't know about you, but I gotta be honest with you. I love being married. I love my wife. I adore her. I always kid around with people and I tell people that if my wife runs away, I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna run away with her. I love my wife, but there's some days I don't like her. Now, I'm just being painfully honest on this, okay? There are some days we're not getting along as well as we should. Sometimes that love and feeling is not there. I cannot base my relationship with my wife solely on feelings. I must make it on the fact that I decided I was going to love her. You know, love is not a feeling. Love is a decision that you decide to love somebody or decide not to love somebody. That is a decision. Letter C is character. This is, I'm going to be sincerely sacrificing, not coming up with excuses. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to invest my life in fulfilling God's purpose, God's agenda for my life. I'm going to be a man of character. I'm going to be a woman of character. When I pray and God reveals a plan to me, I am going to be man enough or woman enough to have the integrity and the determination to be able to sacrifice, not coming up with excuses. I promise you, when you make a decision to follow God in a particular area of your life, as soon as you make that decision, something's going to come along that's going to provide you an excuse as to why you shouldn't follow through. Great men, great women of God realize I must follow through. I cannot have excuses. I must invest my life in fulfilling God's purpose for my life. Letter D, last but not least, I must thoughtfully be thankful, not arrogant, humbly giving thanks as I help others along the way. The destination, the journey is as much part of God's plan as the destination. And as I'm going through this destination, who am I going to help along the way? You see, the goal in life is not to step on as many people as you can as you climb the ladder of success. The goal is to help others as they climb that ladder with you. You see, you never know who you're going to need when you fall off that ladder. Too many times we step on people and then we fall and we have nobody to support us. Oh, I want to encourage you. Bless those who are hurting. Pray for those who are hurting. Realize one day you could find yourself in that same exact situation. So, Lord, it's been great to study your word and to figure out from God's word how we can plan our lives and how we can make good plans that are pleasing in your sight. So, Lord, as we close out our broadcast today, I pray that we will take your word and hide it into our hearts. I pray that those who pray to receive Christ today will follow through with that decision. They'll get into a good Bible-believing church. They'll spend just a minute to give me a call so that I can pray with them and I can share some information that will help them on their journey. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We would love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.